Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar and today we're in Sekhot Sukkah, Daf Lamed Daled, the third parak, Luv HaGazel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Arvei Nacho HaGedelos Al HaNacho Pratlet Tzatzafa HaGedela Bein Aharim. The term brook willows refers to aravos that grow by a brook. Excluded, therefore, is the Tzatzafa, which grows among the mountains. Rabbi Zera said, which pasuk demonstrates that Tzatzafa is not considered an arava? Kach HaMaim Rabim Tzatzafa Samo. He took that which grows on abundant waters and set it up as tzatzafa. Rashi explains that Hashem provided the Jewish people the opportunity to be as lush as an arava, but they allowed themselves to be like a tzatzafa. Clearly, this indicates that tzatzafa is an inferior species, which is not included in the category of arava. The Gemara brings a braisa that distinguishes between arava and tzatzafa. Arava, kanashola adom, ba'ala shola mashuch, upiyo chalak. The arava, its stem is red, and its leaf is elongated, and the edge of its leaf is smooth. Tzatzafa kanashala lavan va'alashala agul upia doma lamago. The tzatzafa, its stem is white, the leaf is rounded, and the edge of its leaf is serrated like a sickle. Point number two, the next mission brings a machlokas hanan regarding how many of each species must be taken. Rabbi Shmuel holds that one must take three adasim, two aravos, one luv, and one esrog. The hadasim are valid, afil shnaim ketumim ve'echod enu katum. Even if two are clipped and one is not clipped. Rabbi Tarfon says, Afilu shloshim ketumim. They're valid even if all three are clipped. Rashi explains that Rabbi Tarfon does not require hadar for hadasim. Rabbi Kiva says that just as only one lulav and one esrog are required, so too only one hadas and one arava are required. The Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates on the Mishnah and teaches that Rabbi Shmuel said, pre-eats hadar echad. The pasuk, the fruit of a hadar tree, teaches that one esrog is the required amount. Kapos tamarim echad. The branches of date palms refers to one lulav. Rashi explains that although the word kapos is plural, since it's written defectively without the letter vav, it can be read as a singular form. Anaf eitz avos shlosha. The three words of a shoot of the plated tree alludes to three hadasim. Arvei nacho shtaim and brook willows refers to two aravos. And point number three, in the same braisa, Rebbe Elazar said yachid ye esrog imayen ba'aguda achas, that it might be thought that the esrog should be tied together with the other three species in one bundle. To counter this thought, Rebbe Elazar asks, does the pasuk say pre-eitz hadar ve'kapos tamarim, with which the vav of ve'kapos would connect the hadar tree to the branches of date palms? No, it says kapos without the connecting letter vav. This teaches that the esrog is not bundled with the other species. And from where do we know that the dal minim are essential to each other? Rashi explains that if one takes only three of the four minim, he has completely failed to fulfill the mitzvah. The Torah therefore states, and you shall take, which indicates that it should be a complete taking. Rashi explains that Rabbi Elazar expounds v'lakachtem as v'lakachtatam, and you shall take completely. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, Arvei nacho hagedelos al hanacho, pratlet tzatzafa hagedela bein aharim. The term brook willows refers to aravos that grow by a brook. Excluded, therefore, is the tzatzafa, which grows among the mountains. Rabbi Zera said, which pasuk demonstrates that tzatzafa is not considered an arava? Kach HaMaim Rabim tzatzafa samo. He took that which grows in abundant waters and set it up as tzatzafa. Rashi explains that Hashem provided the Jewish people the opportunity to be as lush as an arava, but they allowed themselves to be like a tzatzafa. Clearly, this indicates that tzatzafa is an inferior species, which is not included in the category of arava. The Gemara brings a braisa that distinguishes between an arava and tzatzafa. Arava kanashala adom, ma'aleshala mashuch upiyal chalak. The arava, its stem is red, and its leaf is elongated, and the edge of its leef is smooth. Tzatzafa kanashala lavan, ba'alashala agul, upiya doma lamago. The tzatzafa, its stem is white, its leaf is rounded, and the edge of its leaf is serrated like a sickle. Point number two, the next mission brings a machlokas hanan regarding how many of each species must be taken. Rabbi Shmuel holds that one must take three hadasim, two aravas, one lulav, and one esrog. The hadasim are valid afilu shnaim ketumim, ve'echad enu katum. Even if two are clipped and one is not clipped. Rabbi Tarfon says, afilu shloshim ketumim. They are all valid even if all three are clipped. Rashi explains that Rabbi Tarfon does not require hadar for hadasim. Rabbi Akiva says that just as only one luv and one esrog are required, so too only one hadas and one arava are required. The Gemara brings up braisa that elaborates on the Mishnah and teaches that Rabbi Shmuel said, pre-eats hadar, the pasuk, the fruit of a hadar tree, teaches that one esrog is a required amount. Kapos tamarim, the branches of date palms, refers to one lub. Rashi explains that although the word kapos is plural, since it's written defectively without the letter vav, it can be read as a singular noun. Anav etz avos shlosha, the three words of a shoot of the plaited tree, alludes to three adasim, arve nachoshtaim, and brook wills refers to two aravos. And point number three, in the same brice, Rabbi Elazar said, that it might be thought that the esrog should be tied together with the other three species in one bundle. To counter this thought, Rabbi Elazar asks, does the pasuk say pri etz hadar v'kapos tamarim, with which the vav of v'kapos would connect the hadar tree to the branches of date palms? No, it says kapos without the connecting letter vav. This teaches that the esrog is not bundled with the other species. And from where do we know that the dal and minim are ma'akim one another? Rashi explains that if one takes only three of the four minim, he has completely failed to fulfill the mitzvah. Talmud lomar b'lokachtem shetehei l'kichatama. The Torah therefore states, and you shall take, which indicates that it should be a complete taking. Rashi explains that Rabbi Elazar expounds v'lokachtem as v'lokachta tam, and you shall take completely. All right, so now we go to our simfer daf lamed dalad, and our standard simon is a ladder. A ladder. So here goes. The ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzatzifa, with serrated edges, had three adasim on the third rung, two aravos on the second rung, and a luv on the first rung, with the esrog all alone on the side. Once again, in slow motion. The ladder, that must be more in daf lamedalid. The ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzatzifa, with serrated edges, which reminds us the term arve nachu refers to aravos that grow by a brook and excludes tzatzifa, which grow among the mountains. The Gemara brings a braisa that distinguishes between arava and tzatzifa. The arava, its stem is red, and its leaf is elongated, and the edge of its leaf is smooth. The tzatzifa, its stem is white, its leaf is rounded, and the edge of its leaf is serrated like a sickle. So the ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzatzifa, with serrated edges, had three adasim on the third rung, two aravos on the second rung, and a luv on the first rung. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah brings Malchokas Tanan regarding how many of each species must be taken. Rabbi Shmuel holds that one must take three adasim, two aravos, one luv, and one esrog. Rabbi Kiva says that just as only one luv and one esrog are required, so too only one hadas and one arava are required. A braisa states that Rabbi Shmuel said, pre-eitz hadar teaches that one esrog is a required amount. Kapos tamarim refers to one luv, since kapos is written without the vav. The three words of anav eitz avos allude to the three hadasim, and arve nacho refers to two aravos. So the ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzatzifa, with serrated edges, had three adasim on the third rung, two aravos on the second rung, and a luv on the first rung, with the esrog all alone on the side. Which reminds us, in the same braisa, Rabbi Elazar said that one might have thought that the esrog should be tied together with the other three species in one bundle. Since the pasuk says pri etz hadar, kapos tamarim, without the connecting letter vav, this teaches that the esrog is not bundled with the other species. And how do we know that the dal minim are ma'ak of one another? That if one takes only three of the four, meaning he has completely failed to fulfill the mitzvah? The Torah therefore teaches, v'lokachtem shetehei l'kichotama, and you shall take, which indicates that it should be a complete taken. Rashi explains that Rabbi Elazar expounds v'lokachtem as v'lokachta tam, and you shall take completely. So once again, the ladder covered in white-stemmed and round-leafed tzatzifa with serrated edges, had three adasim on the third rung, two aravos on the second rung, and a luv on the first rung, with the esrog all alone on the side. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Lamed. So the simmer Daf Lamed is a Melamed, or a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more in Daf Lamed, Melamed. The Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmudim paid the toll, which reminds us that the source for a mitzvah of Baba Aver comes from a comparison in the pasuk that links stolen offerings to lame ones, just as a lame animal cannot be repaired as the blemish renders it permanently unfit to be offered, so too a stolen offering cannot be repaired, and it makes no difference whether it's before Yeush or after Yeush. The more then brings the mashal of a king paying his own tolls to serve as an example to travelers to not avoid the tolls, with the nimshal being that Hashem wants Yidden to learn from him to distance themselves from theft. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his Talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulaving being used on the second day of Sukkot, which reminds us that the Gemara brings Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, who said in the name of Shmuel that a stolen lulav is only possible on the first day of Yantav. But on the second day of the Chag and thereafter, the rule is that since a person can be Yotze with a bold lulav, he can be Yotze with a stolen one. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani holds that the only reason a stolen lulav cannot be used on the first day is the Torah's requirement that it be his own property. Just as on the second day he may use a borrowed lulav, he may use a stolen one. So the Rebbe riding on a lame goat who made sure all his talmidim paid the toll got stopped by cops searching for stolen lulavim being used on the second day of Sukkot, while a nearby merchant instructed Nachman to cut hadassim twigs before giving them to him. Which reminds us of Rav Huna's guidance to the Dalad Mini merchants regarding selling Hadassim, that they should let the Nachrim cut the twigs themselves, since Nachrim generally steal the land in which the Hadassim and trees grow, the Karka in an exelis, but land cannot be stolen. This way the Yesh Balim will be in the Nachri's hands, and then Shinui Rishus will be in the merchant's hands. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Sim Daf Lamed Aleph is the law, we use a judge. So here goes. The woman screaming at the judge, judge, that must be more Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood, she claimed was stolen, which reminds us that a brisa stated, Gazal Eitzim V'sicha Behen Divrei Kol Ein Lo El Deme Eitzim. If one stole pieces of wood and made a sukkah with them, all agree that the original owner has the right to receive only the value of the wood, and the robber may keep the sukkah. And the Gemara brings an incident of the elderly woman who screamed at Rav Nachman, who was sitting in a sukkah made of wood that was stolen from her, and he told her that all she gets is the Deme Eitzim. So the woman screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood she claimed was stolen became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation and told her they were kosher. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa yavish pasul, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. A dry lulav is pasul, but Rabbi Yehuda is makshir. Rava said that the machlokes pertains to a lulav, but not to the esrog. The Rabban Sabre makshin lulav le'esrog, for the Rabban hold that we make a hekesh between the lulav and the esrog as follows. Ma esrog by hadar, af lulav by hadar. Just as the esrog requires beauty, so to the lulav requires beauty, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make the hekesh and the lulav does not require beauty. Rava continued, however, concerning the esrog, everybody agrees it requires beauty. The Gemara refutes this on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is makshir, an old esrog. So the woman, screaming at the judge sitting in the sukkah made from wood, she claimed was stolen, became enraged when he gave her a dry lulav and an old esrog as compensation, and told her they were kosher, and not to worry that the lulav is split. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes Amabeh stated, in Nikdam Rosho Pasul, if the lulav's top is clipped off, it's pasul. Rav Huna said, they only taught this concerning the case where the top is actually clipped off, aval nistak kosher. But if it was merely split, the lulav is kosher. When a brice is brought that says a split lulav is pasul, Rav Papa answered that the brice refers to a case where the lulav was made like a hymnok. Rashi explains the brice is not referring to a lulav whose leaves have split open, but rather to a lulav that grew in the shape of a hymnok, which is a metal tool used by sofering that is forked at one end. If the lulav grew in the shape, it appears to have two spines with the leaves reaching in opposite directions. Such a lulav is pasul, but a lulav whose leaves have split open is kosher. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist working in a sukkah lab. Mad scientist in a lab? That must be more in Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split, which reminds us, Rav Papa asks, what the halakha is in a case where the tumas is split all the way down to the spine so that the top of the spine is split. The Gemara gives two different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, one suggesting that the tumas is kosher, whereas if it was removed, it'd be pasul. The other one saying that a split tumas is as if it's removed. So the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav, which reminds us, Ravina said to Rav Ashi, on what basis do we know that kapos tamarim requires us to take a lulav, which is the pliant palm branch whose leaves hug its spine? So a number of alternatives are suggested which are rejected, one being that the Gemara has ve'ema kufra, but say the pasuk refers to a palm shoot, which is a branch that is 1 or 2 years old and has begun to harden, but the stems protruding from it still can be bent back and tied to it. Abai said, its ways are pleasantness and all its pathways are peace. Rashi explains that since the palm shoot has thorny projections, it's unpleasant for one to hold. So the mad scientist working in a sukkah lab on developing a species of lulav where the tumas never split ended up producing a mutant thorny lulav that was plaited like a braid and looked more like a hadas. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brice regarding identifying a hadas anav eitz avos sha'anafav chofim es eitzo. The term of shoot of the plaited tree refers to a species whose shoots cover its branches, which is a hadas. Another Brice has stated that the term shoot of the plaited tree implies kalua can mean klia v'domun shalshelas, that the tree's leaves are plaited like a braid and similar to an interlocking chain. And this is a reference to hadas. The Gemara asks, what's the case of a twig that's plaited? And Rav Yehuda said, it's where the leaves stand, trasa trasa tarpe bikina, in clusters of three on each base. Rav Gana said, afil trevachad, even if they stand in pairs, with the third one overlapping each pair. Daf Lamed Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, that must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmi asked what the halakha is if the top of the hadas was clipped off before Yantiv and a date grew on it during Yantiv. Yesh dichui eitzel mitzvahs or lo, is there a permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs or not. The concept of dichui, which applies in regard to kachim, is that once an object is disqualified from use in a specific service, it is permanently rejected, even if the reason for disqualification ceases to exist. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Yirmiyah is uncertain, since the case in Chulin regarding kitzui dam implies ein dichui etzel mitzvahs, there is no permanent rejection in regard to mitzvahs. The Gemara said that Rabbi Yirmiyah was inquiring whether ein dichui etzel mitzvahs apply only to chumras, such as in the case of kitzui dam, or even what leads to a kula, such as the hadas case. The Gemara leaves it as a take, but later resolves part of the question. So the peg-leg pirate got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv, got distracted pulling off all its berries to eat. Which reminds us, the Gemara questions Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Shimon, who holds that one may pluck berries off a hadas on Yantiv. But one is thereby repairing a kli on Yantiv. Rav Ashi answered that we're dealing with a case where one plucked the berries for the purpose of eating them. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon holds like his father, who said, Davar she'ein miskaven is mutter. When the Gemara objects, because Abai and Rabbi both said Rabbi Shimon concedes that one is chayv in a case of psik resh v'liyamus, it answers that we're dealing with a case of de'ezli hoshana achrisi, where the person has another hoshana with which he can do the mitzvah. Since it's irrelevant to him whether this hadas is valid, plucking the berries is not considered a repair. So the peg-leg pirate got angry after he clipped off the top of the hadas and saw a new bud begin to grow on Yantiv, got distracted pulling off all its berries to eat, that a ship got grounded in a willow brook. Which reminds us, we learn many dinim of rabbas from the pasuk of Arvei Nachal. The term brook willows refers to a rabbas that grow by a brook. Another pshat is sha'ale shala mashul chenachal. That's a type of a rabbah whose leaf is elongated like a brook. And the plural form of Arvei Nachal teaches that rabbas are not only kosher if they grow by a brook, but they're also kosher if they grow in fields and mountains. And Abba Shul said Arvei Shtaim. The plural form of a rabbas implies two rabbas are required, one for the luv and the other one for the mikdash to encircle the mizbeach with the rabbas each day of sukkahs. The Rabban hold that the mitzvah of rabbas in the mikdash is halacha l'moshe misinai. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.